Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by The Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, we're headed into the forests, wetlands, beaches, and deserts across Oregon in search of some of our closest animal neighbors.
That's right, Vicki. We are talking, of course, about birds. From little warblers to mighty eagles, birds are around us literally all the time. You can find them on the slopes of volcanoes, or on the beach, or out in the sagebrush, or really just right in your own backyard.
Yeah, and that might explain why bird watching or birding is such a popular hobby. It's something that anyone can do just about anywhere in the world, and bird watching seems to have become a lot more popular over the last few years, especially during the pandemic, and now more than ever, there are opportunities for people who want to try it out.
Today, we will be talking to one of the founders of a relatively new birdwatching group right here in Portland, one that is catering to people young and old, beginners and experts alike, and which started, interestingly enough, in a local torta restaurant. So joining us today from the Guero Bird Club is co-founder Audrey Tawdry. Audrey, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm so happy and excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, so tortas and birdwatching, it seems like kind of an unlikely connection. So why don't we just start at the beginning? How did this all come to be?
It's not quite peanut butter and jelly, but it goes together in my heart really well. Yeah, it's a weird story, and I haven't really gotten it to make a bunch of sense when I'm telling it, but it is what it is. I've worked at Guero, which is a Mexican torta restaurant in Portland for 7 years. I'm the kitchen manager back there. I make sandwiches. outside of that, very outside of that, I didn't ever put these two things together, but I've been a bird watcher also, side note. And the bird club started in 2020. If you can imagine the vibes of 2020 in a restaurant, kind of bleak. Our dining room was closed and kind of filled with boxes. We just kind of were like, well, we'll just use this for storage. And, we'd go in, we're masked up. Just imagine the vibes. I don't want to have to relive all of the details, but it was a vibe. And I'd go in pretty excited to see people. And my friend Greg, coworker Greg, who worked in the front of house, was also a birder. And so we would come in and compare notes. It was a safe outdoor thing to do alone at the time. And we were just both really diving into it. And I think excited about having the chance to share it with another person. So we'd come in, we're going off about birds. Oh, would you see a Whitaker Pond? I saw this thing. Did you see all the pelicans? Yes. Oh my God. I saw that. And our boss overhears us. Meg Sanchez, the one of the co-owners of Guero, and she was like, you guys, you can't do this and leave everyone out. You have to it was like bringing candy. It's like if you bring candy, you have to bring enough for the whole class. So she was like, bring people birding. This is what you need to do. You need to bring people birding. Everyone should be invited to the club. And Greg and I were like, yes, duh, of course. Yes, let's invite everyone birding with us. And it kind of started more as an idea that we talked about for a long time and then eventually made some boxes, made some t-shirts, made some hats, and made a calendar and started inviting people birding. We really wanted to at first I think it was let's bring our coworkers birding. And then it quickly evolved into let's bring everyone birding. Because it really is very fun. So I don't know. Yeah. That's how it started.
So in those first few bird club meetups, obviously it started as your friends and your coworkers, and then who were the people that started joining and expanding that group? Was it customers? Was it like the Guero customer base? Who was it?
Yeah. You know, Guero has always been a real community kind of restaurant. Well, I mean, we started as a food truck at 28th and Ankeny. And then when we opened the restaurant, it was at 28th and Davis. So just a couple blocks away. So like stationed in this place. And I know like, yeah, our kind of vibe at the restaurant has always been like community, a place where people can feel comfortable and hang out. And so, yeah, it's interesting. Like then the bird walks. Yeah, we're a lot of that community of people who are like, I love tortas and I also love birds. Or I've never been birding before, but I love tortas and so I thought I'd come. And then little by little, also people who have never heard of the restaurant and are just interested in going birding has happened lately. But in the beginning, I would say, yeah, it's just a mix of like friends and friends of friends, kind of word of mouth. And yeah, I mean, really, it's just a surprising Venn diagram of like tortas and birds. And there's like a much larger group of people in the middle than you might expect.
Well, so it's been a couple years now since you've been doing these bird walks. What is the state of Guero Bird Club now? What does a walk look like and who are the people who are showing up for that?
Yeah, so it's actually only been a year and a couple months. We celebrated our first year birthday in, I think it's June 1st is our birthday. And I brought like special treats to that walk and we kind of had a little birthday party for the club. And someone hid cute presents along the trail that you could find with your binoculars. So it's very fun. Now it's very casual and chill and it just kind of happens. I like to think of Guero Bird Club, it's less of a thing that I or any singular person has made. It is the people that show up to every walk, you know? It's like, it changes every walk. It just depends on who's there and what they're interested in doing. But typically we'll meet up at a local kind of nature area. We love going to Whitaker Ponds, Smith and Bybee, other spots around Portland that are near the city but pretty green. And depending on the time of day, I'll bring some coffee and potentially some little treats because I think it's nice to kind of socialize and bring people to, I guess I'm just like, I come from a restaurant, I bring people together with food. And so I do that. And we chat and we talk about what we're excited to see or why we're there. And we take a really slow walk and just, I really am most excited to make a space where beginners feel really, really welcome and are having fun. I feel like a couple of my decisions are based on that. And yeah, if we see a cool bird, if anyone sees a cool bird, we just all look at it for a long time. This is bird watching. This is, if you've never heard of this sport, this is what you do is you go out, a big group of people is all just like, they've got their binoculars out. And like on Saturday, we went out and to Smith and Bybee and we saw in like the first little turtle pond there a great blue heron, and it had a big frog dangling from its bill.
Oh my god,
like just kind of like looking like a rag doll. It was like my heron and my rag doll frog friend, and it looked kind of adorable, and it carried it around for, I don't know, we probably watched it for 5 or 6 minutes. And it would also dunk the frog in the water, which we we thought maybe because it's like a very slimy treat. And so it was kind of washing it off. But, you know, we just watch birds really slowly. And it's fun. I don't know how much more I have to sell it, you know?
Well, Audrey, how often do the walks happen?
Yeah, it kind of depends on my schedule right now. But I try pretty hard to have a walk at least once a week or like 3-4 times a month. It's a little bit random, but the more bird walking, the better is what I go for.
Can anyone join? Do you have to sign up ahead of time? Do you just go and meet there? How does that process work?
Yeah, as soon as you show up to a bird walk, you become a member, a full-on member of the Guero Bird Club. No experience necessary. You don't need to show me any forms or documents. You do need to do a small hazing ritual, but that's fun. Yeah, literally anyone is invited. I really try and make it as open as possible. Like, expert birders love it when they come because we can ask them all the questions that we have. Love it when you've never gone birding before. Love it if you've never gone birding with a group before, because it's very different to take your like solitary habit of watching birds and like looking for birds and bring it into a group setting. And I think it has a different... You know, it's a little more about sharing that experience, and that can be just rewarding in a really different way than solo bird watching. So yeah, everyone's invited. You guys are invited. Please come birding with me.
I did come birding with you, yeah, one morning, and one thing that I was struck by. So, I mean, I feel like there's this stereotype about bird watching that it is an old person's game. You think about bird watching, it's gray-haired people, retirees out there in the wilderness. But what I was struck by when I went out with you is that there was such a range of ages. There were some older folks, but there were also people in their early 20s and everywhere in between. And the diversity of not just ages, but experience in birding, like you're saying, some people who were out there birding for the very first time, and some people who are out there all the time. It really does seem like Guero Bird Club, as you said, is for everyone, and that everyone does tend to show up, like a wide variety of people.
It makes me so happy. One thing, it is really interesting, this idea of the stereotypical birder. It's like, yes, that's all of us in the future, you know, like being old is a thing that everyone will be eventually, you know. What I love about the birding community is that it can be a space and an opportunity for different generations to interact. And it doesn't have to be just one generation or like typically the older generation. Last Saturday, I was thinking about how what I was most excited about was that it was similar to the walk that you were on, a walk that had a lot of different experience levels with birding. And I still think that everyone walked away having had a really fun experience. And I think that's really special. Like, there was a young family with their like two parents and their maybe 6-year-old. Another birder who I know was like got into birding because they were really into Pokemon Go. And they liked how it was kind of a similar game of like trying to catch them all. So this person's like very much like checking the WhatsApp and is like, oh man, I could go see this bird at Whitaker Pond. It's like a rarity. I'm going to go check it out. And they're like a great birder. Yeah, there was just like a handful of people who were like had, you know, could name birds based on the calls. And also people who wanted a little extra help with like how to use binoculars for the first time. And everyone found something on that walk, and also like gave something on that walk, like made the whole experience more fun for everyone. It was really beautiful. I loved it.
I feel like I would love to take my dad when he visits Portland to come to this bird club, because back home we have this like big window and you can look outside and he puts like a bird feeder out there. And he's the type of person who like gets so excited when he sees a different bird come that he's like calling over everyone in the family to like go look out the window at these birds. So I know that this would be like right up his alley.
I can't wait for you and your dad to come to Guero Bird Club. I am so excited. Where are you from? Where is your dad's bird feeder?
This is in Delaware. On like the coast of Delaware. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Cool. So a whole different bird scene. Your dad will be super excited to see some of the Portland specialties.
Yes.
So fun. Yeah.
One of the things that I'm also really interested in Guero Bird Club is how it sort of fits into this modern birding boom, right? And I know that birding has sort of been, you know, always a thing and has been increasing in popularity perhaps for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. But it does seem like over the pandemic, there was sort of a moment for birding. And I love about what you do, Audrey, with this bird club is sort of this modern approach to you know, bringing people together for this. It's, you know, not the Audubon Society, all due respect to Audubon Society or these sort of more storied institutions for birding. But I mean, you have this great social media presence. You have the merchandise. You have like this general sort of fun, silly atmosphere around birding that I don't see anywhere else. And I guess I'm wondering how you feel like this, your bird club fits into maybe this sort of new wave of birding that's going on right now.
Definitely birding had its moment in the pandemic. I think that everyone who found birding through the pandemic was finding something like, we could call it mindfulness, or just like, you know, when you're looking at birds or for birds and trying to identify them, it takes a lot of focus. I've always really appreciated the way that you kind of forget about anything outside of this moment with you and your bird. And you're like, if it's a bird that's moving a lot, you're just like trying to keep your eyes on it. And if it's a bird that has kind of more cryptic plumage, you're just trying to like really look at it and figure out like, what are the special characteristics here? So all of that kind of leads to this. It's a hobby that like takes you out of all of the conundrums and dilemmas and chaos of whatever else is going on in your life in the world. And so I do think like in the pandemic, birding was a special thing for a lot of people to have found. And I think like where a bird club has liked to incorporate is just like, yeah, I do love that it's like super like mindful and like, I don't know, good for your mental health. I also think it's really fun. and I like to bring that part to it too. And yeah, I think some of the ways that birding was popular in previous decades was kind of about making lists and tracking down the most birds, seeing the most of them. And I think the pandemic, like being more aware of how birding can be this kind of like, I don't know, almost meditative practice, it's kind of just opened up different ways to bird, like in general. I think it's great if you want to go and look at the most birds in the world. That's super fun. Or if you want to see the most species in Multnomah County, that's super cool. But I think one thing the pandemic gave us is just like an awareness that there's 100 different ways you could go birding. You could go birding without leaving your house ever. Like Vicky, like your dad, like not that he doesn't leave his house, but like I during the pandemic also got into bird feeding and like just watching my feeders. and it's really, really rewarding and really fun. And you feel like you have pets almost, or like you have a relationship with the birds that you're feeding. But yeah, so there's, you know, like there's just a ton of different ways to go birding. And with Grow Bird Club, I'm like, this one is for having a lot of goofy fun.
I love that. And I love that. I think that approach is definitely something that's great for people who don't have a lot of experience and are beginners. So we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with Audrey talking more about Grow Bird Club and tips for beginners right afterwards.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we are back from our break, and we are talking with Guerrero Bird Club co-founder Audrey Tawdry. So Audrey, I'd love to know your background with birding. How did you get started with it?
So my parents invited Big Bird to my 7th birthday, which was a big bash in the basement. And I super freaked out. Like, I had a total meltdown. I was completely unable to function at this party. I was, like, too just, like, enchanted. Like, enchanted isn't the right word, but, like, I was mad. I was, like, out of control. So, yeah, I had a big meltdown and had to go take, like, kind of a cry break. And that was kind of the beginning of, like, my fandom of birds. In college, I was an English major, but I hung out with a lot of NVI majors. And I decided my senior year to take a bird class because it just sounded like the kind of thing you do your senior year of college. And it was amazing. It was led by, it was taught by two professors who were researchers in other fields, mm-hmm. but their hobby was birding. And they were this wonderful odd couple of like this kind of prim, not stuffy, but like very upright English, like Englishmen. And then the like radical hippie, like anti-corporate, just like American, like rough kind of like professor. And they both loved birds, and I loved them both. And we got up, me and my best friend at the time, we were roommates, and we got up. I had to wake her up every morning for class, and we would make it to class. We would sometimes sleep in class, but we would go out on field trips in this class. And that was really my introduction to birding as a thing. For a final, we had to go take a bird walk, and the professors would be like, "What's that bird?" by the song, and they would point out a song and say, "What's that bird?" And we would have to write it on tiny pieces of paper, and I passed. So now I'm certified to take you birding. but yeah, no, it just kind of stuck, and I really enjoyed doing that. And so that was in New York, where I grew up, and I moved out to Oregon, and it's just, yeah, a thing that I never stopped doing, really, was like looking at birds. And it's a cool hobby because there's so much information to learn about birds. And so once you get into it, you can kind of like, you can learn a lot by yourself. And you can also like engage in the community and find people who know more and bug them and just kind of like follow them while they're birding and learn a lot that way. So yeah, I guess that's my bird journey.
Well, if someone doesn't have, you know, maybe someone doesn't have access to a class for birding in mm-hmm. school, what are some other ways that people can get started with it?
Yeah, there's so many ways. Join a local bird club. That's a great way because they're super friendly and want to take you out birding. I bought a field guide for that class, and I really loved kind of like the first couple of years of birding when there were so many mysteries for me. And I just had this book and I was like, the answers to the mysteries are in this book. And so I'd like flip through the pages trying to identify birds. And now there's apps. So the Cornell Lab of Ornithology has a really, really great app that you could get on your phone called Merlin, and that will help you ID birds. There's different functions it has, so you can use it as a field guide. You could use it as kind of a key where it'll ask you questions about a bird that you're looking at, and it'll say maybe it's a robin or maybe it's a song sparrow based on your answers. And it also has one of my favorite features now is Shazam for birds. So you could just record a bird that you're hearing and it'll tell you what it's likely.
No way.
What likely is. Yeah.
Oh,
seriously. And it's like pretty accurate. It's like, yeah, I use it as, I guess, like, I like to think of it as more of like a tool or like a confirmation mm-hmm. tool. But yeah, it's very fun. I love Shazamming birds.
Are you able to identify just by listening to birds?
I have a small library in my head of bird songs that I recognize, and I'm always trying to add to it. It's one of my favorite aspects of birding is birding by ear, and it's difficult, or it's difficult for some people. Some people don't find it difficult at all. Yeah, that's a thing that I've always incorporated into birding.
I was recently talking to the executive director of Portland Audubon, and we were talking about this exact skill. And he said it's like another language people have. It's like being able to speak bird language. Is that kind of like how you approach it? Is like learning a language, or like, I guess my question is like how do you do that?
Yeah. Okay. One thing, it's really nice when you could make up lyrics to a bird song. That's really, really helpful when a bird is like, I'm singing a song and these are the words and you just hear them. So like the brown creeper is this tiny streaky brown bird that likes to creep up tall trees looking for bugs. And when it gets to the top, it goes, trees, trees, beautiful trees. And so like, that's super easy to remember. Right. But yeah, a lot of learning bird song is, for me, partly about translating what a bird song sounds like into my language, like words that I understand. So, you know, trying to broaden my vocabulary so that I can describe a bird's voice and song. So like raspy versus flute-like, or jittery versus, you know, smooth. I think that can help a lot, because part of the reason why it's difficult to identify birds by song is just normally you're not asked to pay that close of attention to it. You don't have the attention to like the nuance between them. So it's something that you have to kind of like teach yourself to pay attention to. There's so many. Like, I have lyrics to many bird songs. The red-winged blackbird says Justin Bieber. There's like the yellow warbler says, sweet, 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 so sweet. The goldfinch says potato chip. Like, I don't, and so like, that's helpful to a certain extent, but it does help. Yeah. At some point you also start kind of learning these voices. A lot of people also compare it to entering the Matrix. If you've ever entered the Matrix. It's kind of, but I guess, you know, like realizing that there's different layers to the world, it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you realize that there are differences in things that you thought were the same. It's so cool. Being alive is so cool.
Are you ever doing bird calls, or are you just looking and identifying?
Yeah, on the walks, I do try and point out another good way to like start learning bird songs is just to learn the ones that you hear very frequently. So I do try and point out the songs that are kind of like the songs of Portland or whatever park we're at. I don't know if this is going to get too nerdy, but so songs and calls are kind of different. A bird's song is typically like a thing that the bird has had to learn, and it is a little more complicated. So if you think of like a robin has a song, mm-hmm. cheer up, cheerio, cheer up, cheerio, that's like a whole song. Uh-huh. Versus a call is just usually a shorter and usually like an innate sound that a bird can make to communicate something, maybe an alarm call or just like a contact call. So these kind of birders call them chip notes. So things like, it'll just sound like, or, you know, like the really short things. So songs are definitely the place to start with bird vocalizations. Songs are a little more identifiable. And then you can start getting into bird calls and chip notes.
Are there any birds that when you see them, you're like, oh, it's going to be a great day. I just saw XYZ.
I'm so cheesy, but like literally any bird. I've been waking up lately to the scrub jays waking me up, and I love it. It also changes throughout the year. But you know what? The one that's just coming to my mind right now is the cedar waxwing. Did we see cedar waxwings with you, Jamie? Maybe?
I honestly do not remember.
They are these really beautiful, sleek looking birds. They have kind of like a black bandana across their eyes. They look like designer birds. Ugh. They have like waxy red beads at their wingtips, and on the bottom of their tail they have this line of yellow. They're amazing birds. I'm sorry to pick a favorite. And they're not my favorite bird, but like in this moment, if I'm like leading a group of people and I get to show them cedar waxwings, I usually get some pretty odd, people who are in awe, odd reactions. People are like, whoa, that's a bird that you can see just here. That's a good day. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I know you mentioned a couple of spots already, Whitaker Ponds, Smith and Bybee Lakes, but I wondered if you could tell us about any other favorite birding spots around Portland or elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Portland is such a great place to go birding if you're down for like a short walk. And most of the places have pretty decent walking trails. They're not all universally accessible, but yeah, within the city, it's just like, wow, there's so much bird habitat here. So Oaks Bottom is really fun. That's like a wetlands down on the Willamette. Mount Tabor is one of my favorites. At the top of Mount Tabor, there is a specific tree that is like the tree to go stand in front of during spring migration because all of the warblers will end up there. I love Kelly Point Park. I love, yeah, Whitaker Ponds. Whitaker Ponds is a wild one because it's so small. I always tell people that we're about to go on a walk that's less than a mile and it's going to take us at least an hour, but usually two. there's so much there. Crystal Springs Rhododendron Garden is a really great accessible birding spot with beautiful lakes, and especially in like May and June when the rhododendrons are blooming. That one's really wonderful. Ironically, Forest Park, I find very difficult to bird in. Like the giant forest that is, you know, takes up so much space in Portland. Typically, the taller the trees get, the harder it is to look at the birds in them. So I think like some of the best spots to look for birds are in the like scrubbier areas, places with like lots of hedges and bushes and shorter like vegetation or open fields. Oh, Powell Butte is so fun. Yeah. And also like the past year, something I've been trying is just to literally go out and walk out of my door and go on a bird walk in my neighborhood. Like I don't live in a park. I live pretty close to Irving Park. So my walk goes through Irving Park, but then I'm kind of just walking through people's like through neighborhoods, through streets of houses, and just to see what's there. Because, you know, if no one looks, then no one knows that there are so many birds right there. And that's been something I've been really very much enjoying lately.
Amazing. I love that. And it again speaks to the idea that anyone can go birding. Just step outside your front door, you can do it. But for those who want to join up with Guerra Bird Club, Audrey, how can they go about finding you? Where should they go to look?
Yeah, I post all of our outings on our calendar at guerotortas.com/birdclub. We also have an Instagram account at Guero Bird Club. Also on the website, you can sign up for our newsletter. So it's an email that I'll send out once a month with all of our events. And you can also always just come to the restaurant and ask if I'm in the back. And I'll be like, oh, you want to talk about birds? Sure, let me set down my knife and we can talk about birds.
Amazing. Well, Audrey, thank you for coming on and talking to us about birds today. It was an absolute pleasure.
I had so much fun. I can't wait to see you guys out on a bird walk soon.
Thanks, Audrey.
Well, Vicky, it sounds like you maybe are interested in Guerra Bird Club. I'll say, as someone who has gone on a bird walk with them, I highly recommend it to you, your dad, literally anyone who is bird curious, even.
Bird curious.
Go check it out.
You know, one thing that I love doing on just like my hikes and stuff is being like, oh man, I wonder what type of bird that is. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea. So I would love to go on a bird walk and be around people who even slightly know what they are seeing. Sounds like Audrey knows a whole heck of a lot. So mm-hmm. I would love to join her and be enlightened by the birds that are around us all the time here in Portland.
You know, like I said at the beginning, they're our closest neighbors. They're around us all the time, everywhere. You can't ignore the birds. So might as well befriend them, as Audrey has and as so many of our neighbors have. I think it's a great way to get out and spend some time in nature, too.
I completely agree. And I will never even look at Big Bird the same after this conversation.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, that'll be it for us today. But until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonians YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on OregonLive.com/travel, as well as HereIsOregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at OregonLive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you're interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicky Connor, alongside Jamie Hale and Andrew Thien.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.